Fran, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Okay, thank you. I have a question about chemtrails.
Right. Oh, chemtrails? Okay.
Yes, are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with the concept, yes.
So what is that? Why are they doing that? They were told not to do it.
Well, there's a lot of controversy over chemtrails, and most of what people think they're seeing when they see chemtrails are the condensation that occurs when the jet goes through the air. Now, I know a lot of people say a lot of things about chemtrails. I've looked at the pros and cons of it. And for the listeners who aren't familiar, the idea is that there's a secret program, whatever group is doing it, and the group varies, jetliners traversing the sky at all manners of the day and night are being filled with tanks full of chemicals, and whatever the chemicals are, we don't necessarily know, and of course, depending on what you read, the composition of the chemicals varies. And these chemicals are being pumped out in the atmosphere, and what you see when you see the white streamer behind the jet in the sky is actually the chemicals that they're pumping out into the air. And I've heard everything from population control to mind control and just about everything in between. The problem is most of them are just condensation trails. I know that the U.S. government and private companies have done tests on dispersing things, but as far as the chemtrail stuff goes, I have to be honest. I've read both sides of the issue. I've heard some people talk about it rather passionately, but here's where I'm coming from with the chemtrails. And again, try to relate this a little bit to the scriptural passages here. In order to have a program big enough to do what's being claimed by the proponents of the chemtrails, that there's some group with less than honorable purposes, you know, spreading these things in the atmosphere, there has to be a lot of people. Now, anybody that's ever worked in airports, around airports, or anybody who's ever served in the military, the Air Force, or something like that, where you've been around airfields and all that, you don't just send an airplane up, especially a large jet. And if there is indeed a program filling jetliners full of these chemicals and then dispersing it, somebody has to be making the chemicals. Right. Somebody has to be maintaining the tanks of these chemicals at airports all across the country. Somebody has to be overseeing the loading of these chemicals onto jets all over the country. Somebody has to be manufacturing, installing, and maintaining the tanks, the nozzles, or the pumps, and all the stuff that goes into it. And there has to be crews of people in order to pull this off. And the problem is, I don't see a whole lot of people coming forward saying, yes, my company makes the chemicals, my company makes the tanks, my company stockpiles that or delivers these chemicals. No, I was involved in maintaining the tankers and the tanks and the nozzles and everything on these jets and cleaning out the tanks and making sure that they're filled before the next flight. I just don't see these people coming out. And I was in the Air Force, and I saw some things that happened that are, you know, classified. I had a fairly high security clearance. And let me put it this way. The more that people know about something, and the more likely it is that information about it is going to get out and people are going to talk about what they saw, what they did. It's very hard to keep these secrets. Just look at this Snowden character and the secrets that he's leaking all over the place. And he's just one of many. But I wanted to bring this more to a biblical point.
Right.
And to do that, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Okay.
And I, for most of my life, I can remember watching the news on television, reading the newspapers and things like that. I mean, when I was a kid, when I was in When I was in sixth grade, I can remember watching the news and reading the newspapers. I did it all through junior high, all through high school, all through college, and I'm still a news junkie. And prior to, you know, kind of seeing some things when I was in the Air Force, I used to be a little more gung-ho on some various conspiracy theories.
Right.
But I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was a young person, and I rededicated my life to the Lord when I was serving United States Air Force, and I was stationed at a base in England. And I got back into my Bible, and I started trying to make sense of some of the conspiracy theories. I thought, well, with the clearance I have, surely if there's any glimmer of truth to some of these conspiracy theories, I ought to be able to see some of it. And I began praying about it, and this is the conclusion that I came to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the master conspirator isn't the Illuminati, it's not the Club of Rome, it's not the Catholic Church, it's not the Bilderbergers, it's not, whatever group you want to put in there. The master conspirator is the devil. And you can see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 very clearly. It says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from or as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" Now notice what Paul writes here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 6. He says, "And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." And let me interject here, letteth and let there is in the hindering sense. We don't use it typically that way, but it is still used sometimes like in a legal document, such as without let or hindrance. And the word for letteth there is the same word for withholdeth in verse 6. What's going on here is the devil at every time has to be prepared to advance his cause to bring the Antichrist to power. But the devil does not know when he's going to be able to do it. And so in every age, he's had various groups, various individuals in the works, grooming them so that one of them eventually will come to fruition. And so there's a variety of conspiracies always going on, but they change over time. You know, the people working for a one-world government, they're not walking in lockstep where they never make mistakes and they always cooperate with one another completely. There's various competing groups out there and a lot of infighting amongst some of those groups. And the devil is the one that's ultimately behind all of them. And he cannot win his or make, you know, his plans come to completion until the Holy Spirit is gone from the present ministry, where the Holy Spirit works through believers, because we're supposed to be salt and light in the world.
Right.
And through the believers, the Holy Spirit of God is restraining the work, the conspiratorial work of the devil. And, you know, the conspiracy groups that most people put out today are usually at most maybe a couple hundred years old. Most of them don't go back too many years. Some of them, the Freemasons and others, do go back longer, the Knights Templar and things like that. Many of the groups are of relatively recent origin. And in every time frame, there's been a number of groups that have had designs on a one-world government. And I believe the devil's been behind all of them. Let me go back to something I was saying about the chemtrails and some things. I do not doubt that there are various individual projects every once in a while to test things, and sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for not so good reasons. But I do know, and I do know this from seeing some things when I was in the military, that some things get taken out of context. For instance, back in the 50s or 60s, I can't think of the name of it, but there's been several varieties where the United States Air Force, for instance, was tasked with how to carry out a nuclear attack on an American city. And those things get taken out of context, and, oh, here's the U.S. government planning on attacking and destroying a U.S. city. No, the reason they did those studies in the course of the Cold War was, oh, let's see how this would happen so we could defend our cities against that. Another thing that took place during the course of the Cold War that I remember having my eyes opened about, I guess I could say, is the Soviet troops training in the American Southwest and the Soviet troops based, for those of the too young to remember the Cold War, the Soviet Union was what Russia was pretty much the head of, and it broke up in the late 80s, early 90s. But the Soviet bases that we had in the southwestern United States, we had American troops that wore Soviet uniforms, and they had airplanes, and they had tanks, and they had trucks, and they had all kinds of vehicles fit to look like their Soviet equivalents. They spoke Russian. They studied the Soviet Union. They watched Russian television programming and movies and read Russian books and literature and everything. And the idea was to provide a fighting force that our military units could train against, because in the course of the Cold War, we couldn't very well send, you know, some American troops to go have a test battle with the Soviets. That would have launched World War III. So we, at great expense, set up Air Force units, Army units, Naval units that looked like Soviet troops, Soviet units, and they endeavored to fight like the Soviets did. And then we would use those units to train our troops, and we would send them in training against them. And so, you know, I know that there are some things, and there's rogue operations that take place, when I look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says, not to be soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us as at the day of Christ is at hand. I'm not too terribly worried about some of these conspiracy theories anymore, because I know God's in control. He's got a plan. And I want to be salt and light so that the Holy Spirit can use me to help withhold, help hinder the devil's progress. And you hear every once in a while somebody say, well, it doesn't matter. They've planned who's going to win the next election. Your vote doesn't matter. And as soon as that happens, they're going to take over. And I always wonder, well, why haven't they done it yet? I've been hearing and reading that since the 1970s. They're going to declare martial law. They're going to take over. You're not going to have another free election. You know, are some of the plans there? Absolutely. However, I'm not worried too much, because the Bible says not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit. I don't think we should be ignorant. I think we should try to keep an eye on what's going on in the world around us. But we also got to remember, the devil's the ultimate conspirator, and he's not going to be able to bring his plans to fruition until God allows him to.
Right, correct. Right.
I might have got on a little bit of a hobby horse there, but I hope I kind of helped answer some of your questions.
Right.
There.
Well, the reason I ask is because, you know, a lot of people are getting some stuff in the air, food we eat, or getting, you know, like cancers and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true enough. I wonder if those chemtrails, you know, mm-hmm. are dropping stuff that would affect our living, you know, I mean,
yeah.
down on Earth.
Well, a lot of the stuff, if it's dispersed in these chemtrails, the concentrations, you know, the atmosphere is a pretty big thing, and it would take an awful lot to reach concentrations. I'd be more concerned with some of the stuff that's in our water and some of the additives that's in our foods, and certainly some of the things that we, you know, put in our bodies directly.
Right.
You know, like there's a lot of people worried about radioactive water from the Japanese reactors that was flooded during the tsunami. approaching the West Coast. And, you know, it's so low of a concentration that the people sampling it don't have to use any precautions. And see, just because we can detect things don't mean that they're at levels that are going to cause problems.
Right.
And again, I'm not trying to, you know, be a Pollyanna or something about this, but the fact that a lot of cancers are out there is another reason is that we're simply living a lot longer than what we used to. And because we're living longer, we're having things happen. Let me give you, for instance, England has a lower cancer rate than what we have. But that's because in England, with their National Health Care Service, a lot of people die before they get diagnosed as having cancer. And even if they die and the doctor realizes after the fact that it was a cancer death, they don't report it as a cancer death because they were never diagnosed or treated for cancer.
Right.
And there's other people. My dad, for instance, if he would have only lived as long as his father, he would have never had a bout with cancer. But because he's lived, you know, to be in his 80s, he did have a bout with cancer. And you know, praise God, he's doing very well. But what I'm getting at is the act of living so much longer, we have more time for things to happen. Another thing, too, is I'm a young earth creationist. I believe that the earth was created by God, and I believe that it was, you know, probably sometime between 6,000 and 8,000 years ago. And there's a lot of scientific reasons for that that tend to get covered up. I've actually studied evolution and related topics in college. But what I'm getting at is that when you look at the decay or the mutation rate, I guess would be a better way of putting it, in our DNA, in our genetic makeup, each generation, after you go so many generations, you see a noticeable decline in the genetic health of the human race. And so we're seeing that happen as well. And then, like I said, we've got so many things. We don't get the exercise that we used to get. We don't get the fresh air. Most people live in a hermetically sealed home or work in a hermetically sealed office building, you know, where they don't get the fresh air. And, you know, just we don't get enough sleep. We don't drink enough water. And the water that we do drink is loaded with chemicals. I think we got a lot more to worry about that than something that's up in the air. And certainly, if somebody wanted to poison us or put something in us, they'd have a much better success rate pumping it into the municipal water systems than they would putting it up into the atmosphere where it gets dispersed. And I've heard people say, oh, there's chemtrails up there. I see chemtrails. That must be why my nose is stuffy and my throat's scratchy. I'm sorry, if you're seeing a chemtrail up there at 20,000 feet or 30,000 feet or higher, you're not getting particulates from that chemtrail up there. They're landing hundreds of miles away and at quite some time. In fact, some of those things, and we know this from tests that have been done, when you put particulates up in the atmosphere like that, a lot of those things are going to be airborne and float around in the atmosphere for years before they ever start to settle out. And, you know, there's volcanic ash floating around from some of these volcanoes that have happened in recent years, for instance. And, you know, it's just chemtrails to me are pretty low on the worry list, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. You're quite welcome. And like I said, look to the Bible. Look to the Lord.
Amen.
Be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, because
Amen.
God's ultimately in control. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, well, you've got a home waiting for you in heaven.
Amen.
And I believe the Bible pretty clearly tells us that we're going to be caught out of the world prior to the tribulation period. Now, if somebody is not saved, and if somebody finds themselves in the tribulation period, I believe that a lot of things that are going on in the background today, the devil will be able to bring to fruition as he brings about the one world government under the reign of the Antichrist. But I hope that helps you out a little bit there
tonight. Oh, sure does. Thanks a million.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your call tonight. Of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. I think that's the first time we've talked about chemtrails on the program, but we do. I mean, that's something I've read about it. People talk about it, and I have personally flown in aircraft and seen condensation trails forming off from the wings, and I'm pretty reasonably certain that it wasn't the result of chemicals being pumped out. The only chemicals being pumped out that I could see was the jet fuel that was being burned in the engines and the emissions being pumped out from that. And it will cause some condensation trails, even the wing just going through the air if the conditions are just right with humidity, temperature, and all those sorts of things. But at any rate, as I told our caller, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. We need to be watchful. We need to be aware. But we need to take things with a grain of salt. I mean, it's easy to throw conspiracy theories out there. I've followed a few in the past, and quite a few actually, and some more than others. And you know, I realize that having talked about chemtrails, there's a certain segment of listening audience that could write me off and say, "Well, you were in the military, you're in on it." Well, I can't argue with that. I guess I was in the military. And you know, the ultimate argument of you're in on it. I remember seeing a guy at a thing one time, and he came up to me. I was waiting to talk to the speaker, and he saw my Air Force hat, and he started going on about something, and then he looked at my Air Force hat, and he said, "And by the way, we never went to the moon." And I looked at him, and I said, "I'm sorry, but I think we did go to the moon. And in fact, I've got every reason to believe that there may still be people there. How do you know they're not?" And I left. I didn't engage him in conversation with that. But actually, that is a good question. You ever think about that? What's on the backside of the moon? You don't see it. It's always turned away from us. Military could have something there. You don't know. And I used to tell people when the space shuttle was flying, you never notice that military packages go up on the space shuttle. We don't know what they are, and they don't always come back, and you don't know what happens to them. I flew on an airplane one time as a military package. How about that? I was a classified package. I was on the manifest. So you never can tell. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.